This is Audible.
Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne. Story 1, in which we are introduced.
Here is Edward Bear now, coming downstairs on the back of his head, behind Christopher Robin.
It's the only way he knows of coming downstairs, but sometimes he feels that there really is another way. If only he could stop bumping for a moment and think of it. And then he feels that perhaps there isn't.
Anyhow, here he is at the bottom and ready to be introduced to you. Winnie the Pooh.
When I first heard his name, I said, just as you were going to say, but I thought he was a boy.
So did I.
Then you can't call him Winnie.
I don't.
But you said...
He's Winnie the Pooh. Don't you know what there means?
Ah, yes, now I do.
I hope you do too, because it's all the explanation you're going to get.
Sometimes Winnie the Pooh likes a game of some sort when he comes downstairs, and sometimes he likes to sit quietly in front of the fire and listen to a story. This evening...
What about a story?
What about a story?
Could you very sweetly tell Winnie the Pooh one?
I suppose we could. What sort of stories does he like?
About himself, because he's that sort of bear.
Oh, I see.
So could you, very sweetly?
We'll try.
Once upon a very long time ago now, about last Friday, Winnie the Pooh lived in a forest all by himself under the name of Sanders.
What does under the name mean?
It means he had a name over the door in gold letters and lived under it.
Winnie the Pooh wasn't quite sure.
Now I am.
Then we'll go on.
One day, when Pooh was out walking, he came to an open place in the middle of the forest. And in the middle of this place was a large oak tree, and from the top of this tree there came...
Winnie the Pooh sat down at the foot of the tree.
That buzzing noise means something. You don't get a buzzing noise like that, just buzzing and buzzing without it meaning something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise. And the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee. And the only reason for being a bee that I know of is making honey. And the only reason for making honey is so as I can eat it.
So he began to climb the tree. He climbed.
And he climbed.
And he climbed.
And as he climbed, he sang a little song to himself.
Isn't it funny how a bear likes honey? Buzz, buzz, buzz. I wonder why he does.
Then he climbed a little further.
And a little further.
And then just a little further. By that time, he had thought of another song. He was rather tired by now, so it came out as a complaining song.
It's a very funny thought that if bears were bees, they'd build their nest at the bottom of trees. And that being so, if the bees were bears, we wouldn't have to climb up all these stairs.
He was nearly there by now.
If I just stand on that branch... Oh, help! If only I hadn't... You see, what I meant to do... Of course, it was rather... It all comes, I suppose, of liking honey so much. Oh, help! Oh, ow!
He crawled out of the gorse bush, brushed the prickles from his nose and began to think again. And the first person he thought of was Christopher Robin.
Was that me?
That was you.
Christopher Robin said nothing. But his eyes got larger and larger, and his face got pinker and pinker.
I'd better go to see Christopher Robin,
said Pooh.
Christopher Robin lived behind a green door in another part of the forest.
Good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
I wonder if you've got such a thing as a balloon about you.
A balloon?
Yes. I just said to myself as I came along, I wonder if Christopher Robin has such a thing as a balloon about him. I just said it to myself, thinking of balloons and wondering.
What do you want a balloon for?
Honey.
But you don't get honey with balloons.
I do.
Well, it just so happened that you had been to a party the day before at the house of your friend Piglet. And Piglet had balloons at the party. You had had a big green balloon, and one of Rabbit's relations had had a big blue balloon, and had left it behind, being really too young to go to a party at all. And so you had brought the green one and the blue one home with you.
Which one would you like?
It's like this. When you go after honey with a balloon, the great thing is not to let the bees know that you're coming. Now, if you have a green balloon, they might think you are only part of the tree and not notice you. If you have a blue balloon, they might think you're only part of the sky and not notice you. And the question is, which is most likely?
Wouldn't they notice you under the balloon?
Well, they might, or they might not. You can never tell with bees. I shall try to look like a small black cloud. That will deceive them.
Then you'd better have the blue balloon.
You both went out with the blue balloon, and you took your gun with you, Christopher Robin, just in case, as you always did. And Winnie the Pooh went to a very muddy place that he knew of, and rolled and rolled until he was black all over. And then, when the balloon was blown up as big, and you and Pooh were both holding onto the string, you let go suddenly, and Pooh Bear floated gracefully up into the sky and stayed there, level with the top of the tree and about 20 feet away from it.
Hooray!
Isn't that fine? What do I look like?
You look like a bear holding onto a balloon.
Not like a small black cloud in a blue sky?
Not very much.
Well, perhaps from up here it looks different. And as I say, you can never tell with bees.
There was no wind to blow him nearer to the tree, so there he stayed. He could see the honey. He could smell the honey. But he couldn't quite reach the honey.
Christopher Robin!
Hello?
I think the bees suspect something.
What sort of something?
I don't know. But something tells me they're suspicious.
Perhaps they think you're after their honey.
It may be that. You can never tell with bees. Christopher Robin!
Yes?
Have you an umbrella in your house?
I think so.
I wish you would bring it out here and walk up and down with it and look up at me every now and then and say, "Tut, tut, it looks like rain." I think if you did that, it would help the deception which we are practicing on these bees.
Well, you laughed to yourself.
Silly old bear.
But you didn't say it aloud because you were so fond of him and you went home for your umbrella.
Oh, there you are. I was beginning to get anxious. I have discovered that the bees are now definitely suspicious.
Shall I put my umbrella up?
Yes, but wait a moment. We must be practical. The important bee to deceive is the queen bee. Can you see which is the queen bee from down there?
No.
Pity. Well, now, if you walk up and down with your umbrella, saying, "Tut, tut, it looks like rain," I shall do what I can by singing a little cloud song, such as a cloud might sing. Go!
Tut, tut, it looks like rain. Tut, tut, it looks like rain. Tut, tut, it looks like rain.
How sweet to be a cloud, floating in the blue. Every little cloud always sings aloud. How sweet to be a cloud, floating in the blue. It makes him very proud to be a little cloud. Christopher! Ow! Robin!
Yes?
I have just been thinking, and I have come to a very important decision. Ow! These are the wrong sort of bees.
Are they?
Quite the wrong sort. Ow! So I should think they would make the wrong sort of honey, shouldn't you?
Would they?
Yes, that's what I think. Ow! I shall come down.
How?
I hadn't thought of that.
No?
If I let go of the string, No, I don't like the idea of that.
No.
On the other hand...
Yes?
No.
Oh.
Christopher Robin, you must shoot the balloon with your gun. Ow! Have you got your gun?
Of course I have. But if I do that, it'll spoil the balloon.
Yeah, but if you don't, I shall have to let go. And that would spoil me.
I see. Well then.
Ow!
Did I miss?
You didn't exactly miss, but you missed the balloon.
I'm so sorry. I'll try again.
But...
And Winnie the Pooh floated down to the ground. But his arms were so stiff from holding onto the string of the balloon all that time that they stayed up in the air for more than a week. And whenever a fly came and settled on his nose, he had to blow it off.
Poom!
And I think, but I'm not sure, that that is why he was always called Pooh.
Is that the end of the story?
That's the end of that one. There are others.
About Pooh and me?
And Piglet and Rabbit and all of you. Don't you remember?
I do remember. And then when I try to remember, I forget.
That day when Pooh and Piglet tried to catch the heffalump.
They didn't catch it, did they?
No, I'm not saying.
Pooh couldn't, because he hasn't any brain. Did I catch it?
Well, that comes into the story.
I do remember, only Pooh does it very well, so that's why he likes having it told to him again. Because then it's a real story, and not just a remembering.
That's just how I feel.
Christopher Robin gave a deep sigh, picked his bear up by the leg and walked off to the door, trailing Pooh behind him. At the door, he turned and said...
Coming to see me have my bath?
I might.
It didn't hurt him when I shot him, did it?
Not a bit.
He nodded and went out. And in a moment I heard Winnie the Pooh going up the stairs behind him.
Story 2, in which Pooh goes visiting and gets into a tight place.
Edward Bear, known to his friends as Winnie the Pooh, or Pooh for short, was walking through the forest one day humming proudly to himself. The hum was a little hum he had made up that morning as he was doing his stoutness exercises in front of the glass.
Tra-la-la, 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 ooh, help, la.
Since then, he had learned the hum off by heart, and now, in the forest, he was humming it right through properly.
Tra-la-la, 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 rum-tum, tiddle-um-tum, diddle-iddle, 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 rum-tum-tum, tiddle-um.
While he was walking gaily along, wondering what everybody else was doing, what it felt like being somebody else,
rum-tum, tiddle-um-tum,
when suddenly he came to a sandy bank, and in the bank there was a large hole.
Rum-tum-tiddle-um-tum. If I know anything about anything, that hole means rabbit, and rabbit means company, and company means food and listening to me humming, and such like. Rum-tum-tiddle-um-tum.
So he bent down and put his head into the hole and called out,
"Is there anybody at home?" What I said was, "Is anybody at home?"
No.
Oh.
You needn't shout so loud. I heard you quite well the first time.
Bother. Isn't there anybody here at all?
Nobody.
There must be somebody then, because somebody must have said nobody. Hello, Rabbit. Isn't that you?
No.
But isn't that Rabbit's voice?
I don't think so. It isn't meant to be.
Oh.
So he took his head out of the hole and had another think and put it back and said,
"Well, could you very kindly tell me where Rabbit is?"
"He has gone to see his friend Pooh Bear, who is a great friend of his."
"But this is me."
"What sort of me?"
"Pooh Bear."
"Are you sure?"
"Oh, quite, quite sure."
"Oh, well then, come in." You were quite right. It is you.
Glad to see you.
Who did you think it was?
Well, I wasn't sure. You know how it is in the forest. One can't have anybody coming into one's house. One has to be careful. What about a mouthful of something?
Well, I do always rather like a little something at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Honey or condensed milk with your bread?
Both. But don't bother about the bread, please.
For a long time after that, Winnie the Pooh said nothing.
Well, Rabbit, I must be going on.
Must you?
Well, I could stay a little longer if it, that is, if you...
And he tried very hard to look in the direction of the larder.
As a matter of fact, I was going out myself directly.
Oh, well then, I'll be going on. Goodbye.
Well, goodbye, if you're sure you won't have any more.
Is there any more?
No, there isn't.
I thought not. Well, goodbye. I must be going on.
So he started to climb out of the hole. He pulled with his front paws, and pushed with his back paws, and in a little while his nose was out in the open again. And then his ears, and then his front paws, and then his shoulders, and then...
Oh, help! I'd better go back. Don't bother! I shall have to go on. I can't do either. Oh, help and bother.
Now, by this time, Rabbit wanted to go for a walk too, and finding the front door full, he went out by the back door and came round to Pooh and looked at him.
Hello. Are you stuck?
No. I'm just resting and thinking and humming to myself.
Here, give us a paw.
Ow! You're hurting.
The fact is, you're stuck.
It all comes of not having front doors big enough.
It all comes of eating too much. I thought at the time, only I didn't like to say anything, that one of us was eating too much and I knew it wasn't me. Well, well, I shall go and fetch Christopher Robin.
Christopher Robin lived at the other end of the forest, and when he came back with Rabbit and saw the front half of Pooh, he said...
Silly old bear.
In such a loving voice that everybody felt quite hopeful again.
I was just beginning to think that Rabbit might never be able to use his front door again, and I should hate that.
So should I.
Use his front door again? Of course he'll use his front door again.
Good.
If we can't pull you out, Pooh, we might push you back.
When Pooh is pushed back, he's back. And of course nobody is more glad to see Pooh than I am. Still, there it is. Some live in trees and some live underground and...
You mean I'd never get out?
I mean that having got so far, it seems a pity to waste it.
Then there's only one thing to be done. We shall have to wait for you to get thin again.
How long does getting thin take?
About a week, I should think.
But I can't stay here for a week.
You can stay here, all right, silly old bear. It's getting you out which is so difficult.
We'll read to you. And I don't suppose it will snow.
Snow?
And I say, old fellow, you're taking up a good deal of room in my house. Do you mind if I use your back legs as a towel rail? Because, I mean, there they are, doing nothing, and it will be very convenient just to hang the towels on them.
A week? What about meals?
I'm afraid no meals because of getting thin quicker. But we'll still read to you.
Well, then, would you read a sustaining book, such as would help and comfort a wedged bear in great tightness?
So for a week, Christopher Robin read that sort of book at the north end of Pooh, and Rabbit hung his washing on the south end. And in between, Bear felt himself getting slenderer and slenderer. And at the end of the week, Christopher Robin said,
Now!
So Rabbit summoned all his friends and relations, and Christopher Robin took hold of Pooh's front paws, and Rabbit took hold of Christopher Robin, and all Rabbit's friends and relations took hold of Rabbit, and they all pulled together. And for a long time, Pooh only said...
Ow!
And...
Oh!
And then all of a sudden... And Christopher Robin and Rabbit and Rabbit's friends and relations went head over heels backwards, and on top of them came Winnie the Pooh, free.
Then Pooh, with a nod of thanks to his friends, went on with his walk through the forest, humming proudly to himself. But Christopher Robin looked after him lovingly and said to himself,
"Silly old bear."
Tra-la-la, 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 tra-la-la. Rum-tum, tiddle-um-tum. Diddle-iddle, 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 diddle-iddle. Rum-tum-tum, tiddle-um.
Story 3, in which Pooh and Piglet go hunting and nearly catch a woozle.
The Piglet lived in a very grand house in the middle of a beech tree, and the beech tree was in the middle of the forest, and the Piglet lived in the middle of the house.
Next to his house was a piece of broken board which had Trespassers W on it.
Piglet, what does Trespassers W mean?
It was my grandfather's name and has been in the family for a very long time.
I don't think you can be called Trespassers W.
Oh, yes you can, because my grandfather was. And it's short for Trespassers Will, which is short for Trespassers William. And my grandfather had two names in case he lost one. Trespassers, after an uncle, and William, after Trespassers.
I've got two names.
Well, there you are. That proves it.
One fine winter's day, when Piglet was brushing away the snow in front of the house, he happened to look up, and there was Winnie the Pooh.
Pooh was walking round and round in a circle, thinking of something else. And when Piglet called to him, he just went on walking.
Hello! What are you doing?
Hunting.
Hunting what?
Tracking something.
Tracking what?
Well, that's just what I ask myself. I ask myself, what?
What do you think you'll answer?
Well, I shall have to wait until I catch up with it. Now, look, here. What do you see there in the snow?
Tracks. Oh, paw marks. Oh, Pooh. Do you think it's... woozle?
It may be. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. You can never tell with paw marks.
What's the matter?
It's a very funny thing. But there seem to be two animals now. This... whatever it was, has been joined by another, whatever it is, and the two of them are now proceeding in company. Would you mind coming with me, Piglet, in case they turn out to be, hostile animals?
Well, Pooh, I have nothing to do until Friday, and I would be delighted to come, in case it really is a woozle.
Oh, you mean in case it really is two woozles?
Anyhow, I have nothing to do until Friday.
So off they went together.
This way, I think, Piglet.
Oh, I'll follow you.
Thank you. I'm right behind you.
There was a small spinney of larch trees, and it seemed as if two woozles, if that is what they were, had been going round this spinney. So round the spinney went Pooh and Piglet after them.
Piglet passed the time by telling Pooh what his grandfather, Trespassers W, had done to remove stiffness after tracking, and how his grandfather, Trespassers W, had suffered in later years from shortness of breath.
Pooh wondered what a grandfather was like, and whether perhaps they were after two grandfathers now, and, if so, whether he would be able to take one home and keep it, and what Christopher Robin would say if he did. And still the tracks went on in front of them, until suddenly Winnie the Pooh stopped and pointed excitedly in front of him.
Look!
What?
The tracks! A third animal has joined the other two!
Pooh, do you think it is another woozle?
No, because it makes different marks. It is either two woozles and one as it might be, wizzle, or two as it might be, wizzles, and one, if so it is, woozle. Let us continue to follow them.
So they went on, feeling just a little anxious now, in case the three animals in front of them were of hostile intent.
I wish that Grandfather Trespasser's W was here instead of somewhere else.
Wouldn't it be nice if we suddenly met Christopher Robin? Because I like him so much, Piglet.
Is he?
And then all of a sudden, Winnie the Pooh stopped again and licked the tip of his nose in a cooling manner, for he was feeling more hot and anxious than ever in his life before.
Do you see, Piglet? Look at their tracks. Three, as it were, Woozles, and one, as it was, Wizzle. Another Woozle has joined them.
I think that I have just remembered something. I've just remembered something that I forgot to do yesterday, and I shan't be able to do tomorrow, so I suppose I really ought to go back and do it now.
We'll do it this afternoon, and I'll come with you.
It isn't the sort of thing you can do in the afternoon. It's a very particular morning thing that has to be done in the morning, and if possible, between the hours of... What would you say the time was?
About 12?
Between, as I was saying, the hours of 12 and 12:05. So really, dear old Pooh, if you'll excuse me... Oh! What was that?
Pooh looked up at the sky, and then, as he heard the whistle again, he looked up into the branches of a big oak tree, and then he saw a friend of his.
It's Christopher Robin.
Ah, then you'll be all right. You'll be safe with him. Goodbye.
Silly old bear, what were you doing? First you went round the spinney twice by yourself, and then Piglet ran after you and you went round again together, and then you were just going round a fourth time.
Wait a moment.
Pooh sat down and thought in the most thoughtful way he could think. Then he fitted his paw into one of the tracks, and then he scratched his nose twice and stood up.
Yes,
said Winnie the Pooh.
I see now,
said Winnie the Pooh.
I have been foolish and deluded, and I am a bear of no brain at all.
You are the best bear in all the world.
Am I? Anyhow, it's nearly time for luncheon.
So he went home for it.
Story 4, in which Eeyore loses a tail and Pooh finds one.
The old grey donkey, Eeyore, stood by himself in a thistly corner of the forest, his front feet well apart, his head on one side, and thought about things. Sometimes he thought sadly to himself.
Why?
Sometimes he thought.
Wherefore?
And sometimes he thought.
Inasmuch. As which?
And sometimes he didn't quite know what he was thinking about. So when Winnie the Pooh came stumping along, Eeyore was very glad to be able to stop thinking for a little in order to say...
How do you do?
And how are you?
Not very how. I don't seem to have felt at all how for a long time.
Dear, dear, I'm sorry about that. Let's have a look at you.
Looking is free.
Why, Eeyore, what's happened to your tail?
What has happened to it?
It isn't there.
Are you sure?
Well, either a tail is there or it isn't there. You can't make a mistake about it, and yours isn't there.
Then what is?
Nothing.
Let's have a look.
And he turned slowly round to the place where his tail had been a little while ago, and then finding that he couldn't catch it up, he turned round the other way until he came back to where he was at first. And then he put his head down and looked between his front legs, and at last he said...
I believe you're right.
Of course I'm right.
That accounts for a good deal. It explains everything, no wonder.
You must have left it somewhere.
Somebody must have taken it. How like them?
Eeyore, I, Winnie the Pooh, will find your tail for you.
Thank you, Pooh. You're a real friend, not like some.
It was a fine spring morning in the forest as he started out. Little soft clouds played happily in a blue sky, skipping from time to time in front of the sun, as if they had come to put it out, and then sliding away suddenly, so that the next might have her turn.
Through them and between them, the sun shone bravely, and a copse which had worn its furs all the year round seemed old and dowdy now beside the new green lace which the beeches had put on so prettily.
Through copse and spinney marched Bear, down open slopes of gorse and heather, over rocky beds of streams, up steep banks of sandstone into the heather again, and so at last, tired and hungry, to the 100-acre wood. For it was in the 100-acre wood that Owl lived. Said Pooh Bear to himself,
"And if anyone knows anything about anything, it's Owl who knows something about something, or my name's not Winnie the Pooh, which it is, so there you are."
Owl lived at the Chestnuts, an old-world residence of great charm, which was grander than anybody else's, or seemed so to Bear, because it had both a knocker and a bell pull. Underneath the knocker was a notice written by Christopher Robin which said,
"Please ring if an answer is required."
And underneath the bell pull there was a notice written by Christopher Robin which said,
"Please knock if an answer is not required."
Christopher Robin was the only one in the forest who could spell. For Owl, wise though he was in many ways, able to read and write and spell his own name, Wall, yet sometimes went all to pieces over delicate words like measles and buttered toast.
Winnie the Pooh read the two notices very carefully, first from left to right, and afterwards, in case he'd missed some of it, from right to left. Then, to make quite sure, he knocked the knocker, and he pulled the bell rope. And he called out in a very loud voice,
"Owl, I require an answer. It's Bear speaking."
"Hello, Pooh. How's things?"
"Terrible and sad, because Eeyore, who is a friend of mine, has lost his tail, and he's moping about it. So could you very kindly tell me how to find it for him?"
"Come indoors, Pooh. Come in." "Well, the customary procedure in such cases is as follows."
What does crustimony proceed cake mean? Hmm? For I'm a bear of very little brain, and long words bother me."
"It means the thing to do."
"As long as it means that, I don't mind."
"The thing to do is as follows. First, issue a reward, then..."
Just a moment. What do we do to this, what you were saying? You sneezed just as you were going to tell me."
"I didn't sneeze."
"Yes, Owl, you did."
"Excuse me, Pooh, I didn't. You can't sneeze without knowing it."
"Well, you can't know it without something having been sneezed."
"What I said was, first, issue a reward."
"You're doing it again."
"A reward! We write a notice to say that we will give a large something to anybody who finds Eeyore's tail."
"Oh, I see, I see. Talking about large somethings, I generally have a small something about now. About this time in the morning. Just a mouthful of condensed milk or what not. Perhaps with a lick of honey."
"Well then, we write out this notice and we put it up all over the forest."
"Lick of honey or not, as the case may be.
The exception to the rule."
But Owl went on and on,
of the extension, yes,
using longer and longer words, until at last he came back to where he started.
"Yes, yes."
And he explained that the person to write out this notice was Christopher Robin.
"It was he who wrote the ones on my front door for me. Did you see them, Pooh?"
"No, no, not at all, no."
"Didn't you see them? Come and look at them now."
So they went outside. And Pooh looked at the knocker and the notice below it. And he looked at the bell rope and the notice below it. And the more he looked at the bell rope, the more he felt that he had seen something like it. Somewhere else. Sometime before.
"Handsome bell rope, isn't it?"
"Yes, Owl. It reminds me of something, but I can't think what. Where did you get it?"
"I just came across it in the forest. It was hanging over a bush, and I thought at first somebody lived there, so I rang it, and nothing happened. And then I rang it again very loudly, and it came off in my hand. There's nobody seemed to want it. I took it home, and...
Owl, you made a mistake. Somebody did want it.
Who?
Eeyore. My dear friend, Eeyore. He was fond of it.
Fond of it?
Attached to it.
And he unhooked it and carried it back to Eeyore. And when Christopher Robin had nailed it on in its right place again, Eeyore frisked about the forest, waving his tail so happily that Winnie the Pooh came over all funny and had to hurry home for a little snack of something to sustain him. And wiping his mouth half an hour afterwards, he sang to himself proudly.
Who found the tail? I, said Pooh, at 2:15.
Only it was 11:15, really.
I found the tail.
Story 5, in which Piglet meets a heffalump.
One day, when Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet were all talking together, Christopher Robin finished the mouthful he was eating and said carelessly,
I saw a heffalump today, Piglet.
What was it doing?
Just lumping along. I don't think it saw me.
I saw one once. At least I think I did. Only perhaps it wasn't.
So did I.
You don't often see them?
Not now.
Not at this time of year.
When it was time for Pooh and Piglet to go home together, they took the route which edged the 100-acre wood, and as they stumped along it, they didn't say much to each other. But when they came to the stream, and had helped each other across the stepping stones, and were able to walk side by side again, over the heather, they began to talk in a friendly way about this and that, and Piglet said,
If you see what I mean, Pooh...
It's just what I think myself, Piglet.
But on the other hand, Pooh, we must remember...
Quite true, Piglet, although I'd forgotten myself for a moment. Piglet, I have decided something.
What have you decided, Pooh?
I have decided to catch a heffalump.
Pooh nodded his head several times and waited for Piglet to say...
How?
Or...
Pooh, you couldn't.
Or something helpful of that sort. But Piglet said nothing, because Piglet was wishing he had thought of it first.
I shall do it by means of a trap, and it must be a cunning trap, so you will have to help me, Piglet.
Pooh, I will. How shall we do it?
Well, that's just it. How?
Let's
sit down. It'll help us to think. Maybe...
Yes?
Maybe not.
Opa. No.
Maybe we should dig a very deep pit, and then the heffalump will come along and fall into the pit, and
why?
Then... Why what?
Why would it fall in?
The heffalump might be walking along, humming a little song and looking up at the sky, wondering if it would rain, so he wouldn't see the very deep pit until he was halfway down, when it would be too late.
This would be a very good trap, Pooh, but supposing it were raining already?
I hadn't thought of that. Yes, but Piglet, if it were raining already, then the heffalump would be looking at the sky wondering if it would clear up, and so he wouldn't see the very deep pit until he was halfway down, when it would be too late.
Now that you have explained that point, Pooh, I think it a cunning trap.
Indeed, I believe the heffalump is as good as caught already. But there's just one other thing which has to be thought about, Piglet, and that is, where should we dig the very deep pit?
I think the best place would be somewhere where a heffalump was, just before he fell into it, only about 1 foot further on.
But then he would see us digging it.
Not if he was looking at the sky.
He would suspect if he happened to look down. It isn't as easy as I thought. I suppose that's why heffalumps hardly ever get caught.
That must be it.
They sighed and stood up. And when they had taken a few gorse prickles out of themselves, they sat down again. And all the time, Pooh was saying to himself,
If only I could think of something.
For he felt sure that a very clever brain could catch a heffalump if only he knew the right way to go about it.
Piglet, suppose you wanted to catch me. How would you do it?
Well, I should do it like this. I should make a trap, and I should put a jar of honey in the trap, and you would smell it, and you would go in after it.
And I would go in after it, only very carefully, so as not to hurt myself, and I would get to the jar of honey, and I should lick round the edges, first of all, pretending that there wasn't any more, you know, and then I should walk away and think about it a little, and then I should come back and start licking in the middle of the jar. And then...
Yes, well, never mind about that. There you would be, and there I should catch you. Now, the first thing to think of, what do heffalumps like? I should think acorns, shouldn't you? We'll get on a... I say, wake up, Pooh!
Hmm? Oh, honey is a much more trappy thing than acorns.
No, Pooh, acorns.
They were just about to argue about it when Piglet remembered something.
If we put acorns in the trap, we will have to find the acorns. But if it's honey, then Pooh will have to give up some of his honey. And so...
All right,
all right, honey, then Pooh. Honey, I'll dig the pit while you go and get the honey.
Very well.
As soon as Pooh got home, he went to the larder, and he stood on a chair and took down a very large jar of honey from the top shelf. It had honey written on it, but just to make sure, he took off the paper cover and looked at it, and it looked like honey.
But you never can tell. I remember my uncle saying once that he had seen cheese just this colour, so I will just... Yes. Yes, it is honey. No doubt about that. And honey, I should say, right down to the bottom of the jar. Unless, of course, someone put cheese in at the bottom, just for a joke. Perhaps I'd better go a little further, just in case heffalumps don't like cheese, same as me. Aha! I was right. It is honey, right the way down.
So Pooh took the jar back to Piglet, and Piglet looked up from the bottom of his very deep pit and said,
Got it?
Yes, but it isn't quite a full jar.
Throw it down to me, Pooh. No, it isn't. Is that all you've got left?
Yes.
So Piglet put the jar at the bottom of the pit and climbed out, and they went off home together.
Here we are at your house, Pooh, so good night, and we'll meet at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning by the pine trees and see how many heffalumps we've got in our trap.
6 o'clock, Piglet. And have you got any string?
No. Why do you want string?
To lead them home with, of course.
Oh, I think heffalumps come if you whistle.
Some do, and some don't. You never can tell with heffalumps. Well, good night.
Good night.
And off Piglet trotted to his house, Trespassers W, while Pooh made his preparations for bed.
Some hours later, just as the night was beginning to steal away, Pooh woke up suddenly with a sinking feeling. He had had that sinking feeling before, and he knew what it meant. He was hungry. So he went to the larder, and he stood on a chair and reached up to the top shelf and found nothing.
That's funny. I know I had a jar of honey there, a full jar, full of honey, right up to the top, and it had honey written on it so that I should know it was honey. That's very funny. It's very, very funny, 'cause I know I had some honey, 'cause it had a label on saying honey. A galoptious full-up pot, too, and I don't know where it's got to. No, I don't know where it's gone. Well, it's funny. Of course! Ah! I put it into the cunning trap to catch heffalumps. Bother! It all comes of trying to be kind to heffalumps.
So he climbed back into bed, but he couldn't sleep. The more he tried to sleep, the more he couldn't. He tried counting sheep, which is sometimes a good way of getting to sleep, and as that was no good, he tried counting heffalumps, and that was worse, because every heffalump that he counted was making straight for a pot of Pooh's honey and eating it all. For some minutes he lay there miserably, but when the 587th heffalump was licking its jaws and saying to itself,
"Very good honey, this. I don't know when I've tasted better."
Pooh could bear it no longer. He jumped out of bed, he ran out of the house, and he ran straight to the 6 pine trees.
The sun was still in bed, but there was a lightness in the sky over the 100-acre wood, which seemed to show that it was waking up and would soon be kicking off the clothes. In the half-light, the pine trees looked cold and lonely, and the very deep pit seemed deeper than it was, and Pooh's jar of honey at the bottom was something mysterious, a shape, and no more. But as he got nearer to it, his nose told him that it was indeed honey, and his tongue came out and began to polish up his mouth ready for it.
Ah, here's the pot.
Mm-hmm. What's this? A heffalump has been eating it. Oh, no, I did. I forgot. But there's still a little right at the...
By and by, Piglet woke up. As soon as he woke, he said to himself...
Oh!
Then he said bravely...
Yes.
Then more bravely still?
Quite so.
But he didn't really feel very brave, for the word which was really jiggeting about in his brain was...
Heffalumps!
What is a heffalump like? Does it come when you whistle? And how does it come? Is it fond of pigs at all? And if it is fond of pigs, does it make any difference what sort of pig? Supposing it is fierce with pigs, will it make any difference if the pig had a grandfather called Trespassers William? Oh, dear, I really don't know about heffalumps, and I'm going to see my first one in about an hour from now. Oh, but Pooh will be with me, and it's much more friendly with two. But then supposing heffalumps are fierce with pigs and bears, maybe it would be better to pretend that I have a headache and I can't go to the 6 pine trees this morning. But then again, supposing it's a very fine day and there's no heffalump in the trap, here I'll be in bed all morning simply wasting my time for nothing. Oh, what should I do? I know. I'll go up very quietly to the 6 pine trees and peep very cautiously into the trap and see if there is a heffalump there. And if there is, I'll go back to bed. And if there isn't, I won't.
So off went Piglet. And at first he thought there wouldn't be a heffalump in the trap. And then he thought that there would. And as he got nearer, he was sure that there would, because he could hear it heffalumping about like anything.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And he wanted to run away. But somehow, having got so near, he felt that he must just see what a heffalump was like. So he crept to the side of the trap and looked in.
And all the time, Winnie the Pooh had been trying to get the honey jar off his head. The more he shook it, the more tightly it stuck.
Ow! Bother! Ow! Help! Help! Ow!
And he tried bumping it against things. But as he couldn't see what he was bumping it against, it didn't help him. So he tried to climb out of the trap. But as he could see nothing but jar, and not much of that, he couldn't find his way. So at last he lifted up his head, jar and all, and made a loud, roaring noise of sadness and despair. And it was at that moment that Piglet looked down.
Help! Help! A heffalump! A horrible heffalump!
Help!
Help! Help! Help! Help!
And mind, he didn't stop crying and scampering until he got to Christopher Robin's house, where Christopher Robin was just getting up.
Help! Help! A heffalump! A horrible heffalump!
Whatever's the matter, Piglet?
Heff! A heff! A heff! A heffalump!
Where?
Up there.
What did it look like?
Like it had the biggest head you ever saw, Christopher Robin. A great enormous thing. Like nothing. A huge big... Like an enormous big nothing. Like a jar.
Well, I shall go and look at it. Come on.
I can hear it, can't you?
I can hear something.
Ow!
There! Look!
Ow!
Isn't it awful? Ow.
It's...
No!
It's...
Ow! Ow!
That's better.
Then Piglet saw what a foolish Piglet he had been, and he was so ashamed of himself that he ran straight off home and went to bed with a headache. But Christopher Robin and Pooh went home to breakfast together.
Oh, Bear, how I do love you.
So do I.
Story 6, in which Eeyore has a birthday and gets two presents.
Pathetic. That's what it is. Pathetic.
Eeyore, the old grey donkey, stood by the side of the stream and looked at himself in the water. Then he turned and walked slowly down the stream for 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again.
As I thought, no better from this side. But nobody minds, nobody cares. Pathetic, that's what it is.
Good morning, Eeyore.
Good morning, Pooh Bear, if it is a good morning, which I doubt.
Why, what's the matter?
Nothing, Pooh Bear, nothing. We can't all, and some of us don't. That's all there is to it.
Can't all what?
Gaiety, song and dance, here we go round the mulberry bush.
Oh. What mulberry bush is that?
Bonhomie. French word, Pooh, meaning bonhomie. I'm not complaining, but there it is.
Pooh sat down on a large stone and tried to think this out. It sounded to him like a riddle, and he was never much good at riddles, being a bear of very little brain. So he sang Cottleston Pie instead.
Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie. A fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Ask me a riddle and I reply, Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie. That's the first verse, Eeyore.
Is it?
Shall I sing the second verse?
I expect you will.
Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie, a fish can't whistle and neither can I. Ask me a riddle and I reply, Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie.